I'm Tom Schultz, host of Voices of Montana. Thanks for joining us for the podcast today, brought to you by Blackfoot Communications.
Does your home qualify for a $70 discount on your internet bill? Blackfoot Communications is proud to partner with the FCC to help ensure that households can afford the broadband necessary for work, school, healthcare, and more. For more information on this federal program and to see if your household qualifies for a discount on your internet service, visit goblackfoot.com/ACP. Connect to more with Blackfoot Communications.
There was a bill signing yesterday at the Capitol. Yesterday was Tuesday, right? Okay. And yesterday was National Lineman Appreciation Day. And we've talked about that just a little bit. But this signing was to enact a law requiring motorists to pull over and give utility workers room as they operate along the roadways. That kind of common sense sort of thing, but we had to codify that. We've had some tragic accidents. And I think about those linemen and the work that they do. I mentioned family members who had been in that profession, and it was very difficult and dangerous as well. But, man, we need them. So we're going to do that today, a little appreciation. Ryan Hall, friend, communications director for the Montana Electric Cooperatives Association. He's been working on this bill for a little while here, too. And then with that event yesterday, too, probably kind of hectic at the Capitol. Bill signing. Good morning, Ryan. How you doing?
Good morning. Doing great. Recovering from a busy day yesterday that was amazing for our linemen.
Yeah. Talk about that. I mean, it was National Lineman Appreciation Day. Can we call it Line Workers Appreciation Day? I guess we're, 2023. But what was their response, and did they feel appreciated being acknowledged at the Capitol like that?
They did. We had over 20 co-op linemen and several from Northwestern as well, because even though the co-op wrote this bill and took the lead, this is a lineman bill. Northwestern and MDU supported us all the way throughout. It was an amazing partnership. But the linemen really enjoyed it. We had bucket trucks out in front of the Capitol. I'll have to send you a picture, Tom, of 3 bucket trucks with the American and Montana flags flying off them in front of the Capitol, which was really cool to get that space. And the governor walked around and shook every lineman's hand and said thank you. And throughout the day, they recognized him on the House floor. We had a former trooper who was our bill sponsor, Neil Durham, call them his heroes. And it was really cool to give the linemen the appreciation they need, because today I'm calling you instead of them because they're out on the lines in a snowstorm trying to put power back on.
Well, and isn't that perfect? I wanted to talk with a lineman today and give them our thanks, but more important is the work that they're doing out there on the line. Talk about how dangerous it can be. I know we've done an awful lot, and Ryan, you and I have chatted. Family members who have been line workers, and I know from that secondhand report about how difficult it can be. You're certainly working with danger as well. And then when storms like this hit, there's maybe a lot of unpredictability, too, that you have to deal with.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, line workers are one of the top 10 most dangerous jobs in the U.S., and that's with all of our safety, all the OSHA regulations, everything we do to try to keep them safe. It's still a top 10 because you're dealing with power lines. You're dealing with the elements. When all of us run home, they run out. Yeah. That's the amazing part. They're emergency workers in a lot of senses of the word with what we have to do to turn power back on. And here in Great Falls, we've got 8 inches of slush and on the ground, and we've got a car stuck in our parking lot, and linemen are in trucks driving out to rural areas to put power back on. It's just amazing the conditions they work in and what they do to all in the name of turning their neighbor's power on. I'm really impressed with what linemen do every day, and I couldn't imagine climbing 40 foot up a pole on a nice day, let alone today.
Well, maybe you can imagine it better than most because you've witnessed it, and then you went to Central America as well with Montana linemen to work on a project there. I mean, and we talked about that. That's probably a couple of years ago now, but that's still a really, really cool project that has impacted that area tremendously. What you're seeing right now, Ryan, when we get conditions like this, now I know that they've closed Highway 87 for a while. Been reported this morning in our huddle, a lot of snow in the Dillon area, of course, flooding along the High Line. Holy cow, it's that time of year. But just a quick status on what our linemen are doing today.
Mostly right now what we're doing is we're dealing with outages. We've got heavy snow, we've got ice, We've got wind. So they're out there either patrolling lines in areas that don't have reported outages, or they're out fixing outages where they do. And the thing I tell people is, when you're driving across beautiful Montana and you look to the left and the right, notice where some of our power lines are. Notice what mountains they go up. Notice what valleys they go in. Notice how close they are to rivers, and realize that our guys have to touch those every year. That those places where you're like, how did they get that line there? We have to go access that every year in conditions like these. So it's just amazing what these guys do. And, you know, to bring it back full circle, you talked about the dangers. Part of that is the traffic on the road when they are doing emergency work like today, and that's what that bill was yesterday. So important is when we have these guys on the side and they're trying to manage snow, they're trying to manage wind, they're trying to keep their bucket where it needs to be, I'm glad they don't have to worry about traffic.
Well, yeah, and if anybody's been in that situation, and I have, just working alongside roadways, that traffic is very, very unnerving. It's hard to get work done because you have to keep an eye out for it. It doesn't matter. I mean, you're in charge of your own safety there. So this helps an awful lot, I know. But just to take that a little bit of that worry out, too.
Well, and the thing to think about, too, is, you know, thank God we had the law in place for our highway troopers and our tow truck drivers. But I tell people, I think it's even more important for line workers because in addition to the dangers of being struck, which we all have on the side of the road and is very important, we have guys up in buckets working within 3-4 inches of disaster. And imagine a tractor trailer driving 60, 80 miles an hour past that bucket truck within a couple feet. We've all felt that wind. Imagine feeling that wind and what that does to that bucket in the air.
Yeah. What does this bill do? I mean, are there fines codified here? Is it just sort of the same language that codifies our requirements when other emergency vehicles are on the side?
So this bill, what it does is it adds Montana highway vehicles and utility service vehicles, such as bucket trucks, to the existing law, which says you must slow down, safe and prudent, and or move over if you can. Now, there's a companion bill that has also passed that adds speed limits. You got to slow down by at least 20 miles an hour. There's situations where it's more, but at least 20 miles an hour and move over if it's safe to do so when you encounter any of those vehicles, highway department vehicles, emergency vehicles of any kind, tow trucks or bucket trucks, as long as they have proper lighting. And we're putting amber lights on all of our trucks. So basically the message is when you see an amber light or an emergency light of any kind, slow down, move over, make it safer for you and for the people so everyone gets to go home that night.
Ryan Hall with us, Communications Director for the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. That's MECA, MTCO-OPS.com for more information. Again, a bill just passed recently, signed by the governor yesterday, and yesterday was National Lineman Appreciation Day. Ryan, the... I want to get back to, and thanks for this. I know that bill's important, and it's good for us to chat about so people are aware now that there are new rules requiring us to slow down and pull over. And, you know, common sense gets codified. I think that's a good thing. Going back to the life of a lineman, where do they start? How do they train? What makes a good lineman? Why do they want to do work like this?
Well, first you have to be crazy. No, I'm kidding. it's nice that you can start right out of high school. So you go to high school and you go to a lineman program, and we have a great one in Montana at Highlands College in Butte. It's a 2-semester program. It is very affordable, and you come out making a great wage. And you get your CDL, and you come out ready to be a groundman. So you start on the ground. That's the guy when you drive past that they're sending things up the hook, and that are, you know, handling the tools, and the guy up top is dropping parts down to and asking for parts. That's the groundman. From there, you become an apprentice, and this is where you learn everything else. You learn your climbing, you learn how to work on lines, and you have to put in several years. I think it's a 4-year program of apprenticeship to become a journeyman lineman. And that journeyman lineman is a fully certified lineman that can do everything. So the guys on the pole are either going to be an apprentice or a journeyman, and the guy on the ground is a groundman.
The work that they do, how much voltage is up there? What are the dangers that they have to watch out for? Just a little bit. And I know that we were going to talk to some today, but as you noted, the weather conditions we have right now have them out doing their jobs, and we're very, very thankful for that. But what kind of voltage are they dealing with? And when they have storms like this, poles tip over. What's kind of the repair process for that?
Yeah, absolutely. So there's a lot of dangers to it, and there's a lot of varying voltage, depending on from where it goes down to the house. It's set down, you can get down to 14,000 volts, and then some of our transmissions are 120,000, and then the big transmissions are 500 kV. So you can get some really, really big voltages as well. But what I tell people is no matter what voltage you're on, it's deadly. If it's in the air, it's a deadly voltage level. You're not dealing with home outlets, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it is very high voltages. The other thing is, when you ask about conditions and dangers, there's a ton of things. I've got pictures, and I know you've seen them, Tom, where a car has hit a pole and taken out the entire bottom of the pole. And so we have an energized line with a suspended pole hanging in the air, not touching ground anymore, and a car underneath it. They have to deal with that. They have to deal with lines that are snapped across the road, lines that are knocked down, trees in lines, and the tree could be energized. So now you got to figure out how to cut the tree and get that down. Fire hazards from things such as that as well. So there's so many different dangers. And then there's tension dangers. When you're working on lines that have a tree on it, if you're not careful, that tree can be launched. The line can snap up and do a rebound type slingshot maneuver. There's so many different dangers when you're dealing with lines that are energized and under high tension. It's just amazing to me what these guys do day in and day out. Like, it's nothing. You talk to them and they're just climbing poles and doing work like you and I sit at a desk with a computer. These guys are amazing.
I appreciate that too. I mean, people, hopefully you're picturing that linemen and line workers, actually with their hands on equipment that could very well kill them. I know that you've done an awful lot. Why don't you talk about some of the safety measures that have improved those working conditions over the years?
Absolutely. Well, first and foremost, bucket trucks. When we were in Bolivia, we were climbing poles, and that adds a whole element of danger when you're sticking metal poles into a tree and trying to stay there. So bucket trucks, and they're insulated. So bucket trucks are the first line of defense, and all of our co-ops use them. Then, of course, you've got gloves. They've got the gloves you see on the outside, the rubber gloves. They've got a second layer of gloves underneath it. Those are all tested every couple years, and they have to pass a stress test, a voltage test, an inflation test, and there's no holes, all that type of stuff. They literally blow air in a glove and make sure there's no holes. Because one hole is where electricity can get through. The shirts and things, if you've ever seen a lineman, you'll notice it's a heavier looking material. They wear FR-rated clothing. That's fire-resistant clothing. So if they do get an arc or a spark, which is another big danger when you're working up there, the clothing should, at the very least, be fire-resistant, not melt to them. Give them an extra layer of protection there as well. And then in a lot of the linemen pictures, you'll see a bright orange stick in their hand. We call those hot sticks. If you have to work on an energized line, you can't grab a hold of it. So that hot stick, you can grab on the line, you can move the line, you can take the line off the insulator. It's got a thing on the end to hook it to things that you can then turn things off and on, move them around, turn them around, whatever, unscrew things, put things in, whatever you need to do so you don't have to touch that line. And those are insulated and up to very high voltages and also fire resistant.
I know that, they're busy today, and this question would be toward to them, any lineman or line worker. But why do they do it, Ryan? Can you answer that? Why do they do that?
Yeah, I can answer it. If you meet a lineman, and I know you have, Tom, so I'm sticking to the choir here. Yeah. But if you meet a lineman, even though they're the rough, tough, burly guys you imagine, they're also very caring and compassionate, and they care about their neighbors. These guys have the same reason as when you ask a policeman or a fireman or an ambulance driver, why do they do what they do? It's the same reason. They're here for the community, and they want to make sure that their power's on. They want to make sure their neighbor's power's on. Their grandma that needs that oxygen machine and has to have her power on. They care about their community, and they want to be the ones up there making sure that everyone has that power that we so desperately rely on nowadays. And they just have a true concern for the community and for their neighbors, and they just feel it's a calling for them to get up there and do what they have to do to provide power to their community.
I can very much appreciate that answer, too, and that, and I believe it 100%. So what can people do then? I mean, just even for today or this week or whatever, I know when linemen are working, we want to give them room. We don't want to interrupt them, but how do we say thanks to our linemen and line women if there are?
Yeah, we don't have any line women in Montana yet. We've got several ground and staking and engineers, mm-hmm. and I think it's just a matter of time, but there are line women across the country. Mm-hmm. And the easiest way to thank any line worker is when you drive by, roll down your window and wave. Don't honk, don't startle them, but roll your window down and wave. And if you see them at the local coffee shop, they usually have their FR deal usually has embroidered Flathead Electric Co-op or Yellowstone Valley Co-op. Just walk up and say thank you. Our big mission, and we put it on a lot of our social media posts, is thank alignment.
Yeah.
And I think that's all you can do is just walk up and say, hey, I know it's crappy. I know you've missed Christmases with your family so that I can have Christmas with mine with the lights on and the oven working. And thanks.
Yeah.
And that's all they want. Yesterday, that's what they told me the greatest thing was, is how many people at the Capitol just came up and said thank you. Thanks for what you do. Thanks for the conditions you go out in. When I go home to avoid this, you go out. And you leave, they leave their families 24/7. We always have linemen on call. They can tell you all sorts of stories of missed Christmases and missed dinners and missed funerals. Just a simple, I recognize what you're doing, and I thank you so much. It might like turn on when I flip the switch. I think that means more to the linemen than anything else.
Well said. 25 consumer-owned electric distribution cooperatives, 3-generation transmission cooperatives, 400,000 Montanans served by our electric cooperatives, and Ryan Hall's communications director for Montana Electric Cooperatives Association. Also publishes Rural Montana Magazine. It's a great magazine, Ryan. I know it's an award-winning magazine, state's largest circulation at 120,000, according to this Mecca release, which you probably wrote. It's really good, so people should look for that Rural Montana Magazine, pick that up too. Ryan, thanks for the work, and we're saying thank you here, verbally and publicly, but give those line men and line workers, a hearty slap on the back for us, okay?
Yeah, I will, and thanks everyone for recognizing linemen yesterday and you today. It's a thankless job. Sometimes they deserve it. Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks, Ryan. Appreciate that. All right. I'm way behind. We have Adam Brandon joining us. This will be after the 35 break. President of Freedom Works. I'm going to set that up a little bit. Again, my thanks to Ryan Hall, communications director for Mecca, and all the line men and line workers out there.